When you are a pastor at a church, there are so many things that you end up doing that you never thought you would end up doing. Mike, how many times have you plunged toilets on a Sunday morning? You become plumber and contractor and all these sorts of things, but it all just sort of comes with the job. It comes with the territory. And isn't it funny how sometimes big things happen in the midst of the normal routine? That poignant conversation that you have with your kid right before you drop her off at school, or the great business idea that comes to you when you're taking a shower in the morning, or the powerful spiritual experience that just happens on a normal Sunday at church. Sometimes it's like the times that we really expect something big to happen, we're left disappointed. Right? And then the times that we're just sort of going about our regular day-to-day stuff, sometimes that's when we're surprised by these incredible things in our life. And the second chapter of the book of Acts is sort of one of these moments. It starts off really simply. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And the they that it's talking about there is this group of Jesus' followers who had been left behind when he died and was buried and then rose to life again and then eventually ascended to heaven. He was gone then. And this group was left behind and they were wondering what was next. And they came together on this day that they called the day of Pentecost. Now, if you're like most people, you have no idea what the day of Pentecost even is. Some might recognize the term. If you've been around church a little bit, you might think it has something to do with a particular brand of spirituality. But really, the day of Pentecost, some people have called it the birth of the Church of Jesus because of what took place that we read about in Acts 2. But really, it's a celebration that's ancient in nature. It's an ancient Jewish tradition. Pentecost was the Greek name for what the Jews called the Festival of Weeks. And it's still celebrated by many Jews around the world. They call it Shavuot. If you're here and you're Jewish, I apologize for that pronunciation. But it's a holiday that commemorates the day that God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. If you know the Ten Commandments, it's the day that celebrates that giving of those commandments. And it's one of the three Jewish pilgrimage festivals, meaning that everyone celebrates it, and many people travel to Jerusalem for this celebration. And it was the same back in the first century when Luke, the author of this book of Acts, was writing. And so when he says that on the day of Pentecost they were all together in one place, that's not an unusual thing. That was part of the routine. The previous year they probably also gathered for Pentecost, and the year before that they gathered for Pentecost. Much like you and I might gather together for Thanksgiving or Christmas. So it's a big day, it's a holiday, it's something to celebrate, but it's also normal. It's part of an annual occurrence. But the thing that happened next wasn't nearly as normal. There they are, they're hanging out. All this can be found in Acts chapter 2. They're hanging out, they're doing Day of Pentecost stuff. Maybe they have a giant turkey or a something, I don't know. And suddenly it just sounds like a freight train is coming through the room. If any of you guys have ever experienced a tornado, what do they always say a tornado sounds like? Sounds like a freight train is coming through the house, right? So the Bible tells us there's this violent sound of a violent wind. Not a violent wind, the sound of a violent wind. Can you imagine that kind of sound with nothing else? So there's this sound of this violent wind, like a tornado's hitting the room. But instead of the violent storm and wind, they see something else. They see something that they can only describe as sort of looking like flames, looking like little tongues of fire. I kind of imagine something like the Northern Lights. If you've ever seen pictures of the Northern Lights, it's, you know, they're ethereal, but they're also real. You know, it's not imagined. And something like that happened, and these weird spiritual flame things come into the room, and they start sort of landing on people. And as they do, all these people begin to speak in different languages. And this is not just sort of babble. These are real, identifiable languages that people are speaking. People who have never spoken these languages before suddenly are speaking them, and they're praising God in these languages. And the really cool thing is that there are other people around who understand these languages, Remember I said that Pentecost, Festival of Weeks, was a pilgrimage festival. So people from all over the world had come to Jerusalem for this festival. And here's this group of people. They're meeting. They start shouting out to God in all these languages. And the people in the surrounding village can hear them. And they hear, oh man, I hear my language. If you've ever been in a foreign country and been walking down the street and you hear somebody speaking English, or whatever your first language is, automatically you just sort of tune in, right? You can recognize it over the noise of the crowd. And that's what happened here. And so as people started hearing their language, they were drawn to this group of Jesus followers. And so there they were, people from all kinds of countries and cultures and languages. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit empowered this group of Jesus followers to speak the languages of the various nations. So people hear their native languages being spoken. They're mesmerized by this. They're drawn in. And soon there's quite a crowd gathered there. And they look at this group of primarily Galileans, people from that local region, speaking the native languages of a dozen or more nations. And they're floored. They're like, we're hearing worship and shouts of praise in our own language. What on earth is going on? Of course, those times weren't that different than these times. There were a lot of cynics around. People who wanted to try to claim that these guys were drunk, right? But Peter, who's the leader of the group at this point, he stands up and shouting above all the noise that's happening. He says, everybody, listen up. These guys aren't drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's too early for them to be drunk. What you're witnessing here is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Now, the prophet Joel was a Jewish prophet who spoke of a future when God's Spirit would be poured out on all people. And they would prophesy. And they would have these Spirit-inspired dreams and visions. Peter says, that time has come. And then he goes on to tell the crowd about Jesus, the good news of Jesus, that he was the answer to the brokenness of the world, the answer to sin and death, that he came to right what was wrong and to defeat death once and for all. And Peter's closing argument here is very simple. He says, look, if you can pivot, if you can make a turn in your life and accept Jesus for who he is, this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit will be given to you as well. And people listened when Peter spoke. The Bible tells us that 3,000 people were added to the church that day. 3,000 people began to follow Jesus as a result of this experience. What a powerful moment. Something beyond anyone's expectations. Not only did 3,000 people start following Jesus, but the people who had been following Jesus for the last few years, who thought they had seen everything, suddenly stood in amazement at this loud noise and these flame things and being able to speak in different languages. This was a big deal. But it was a big deal that happened in the midst of their regular routine. It was God breaking into the everyday. And God still does that today. You know, as I stand here on my last Sunday at Trinity Vineyard, I think about how in the world I got here. And there are a ton of highlights. Like Mike said, if I look back over the course of my life, over the course of Melody's life, there's a lot that had to transpire to get us here. And there are decisions that we made along the way and things that God spoke to us along the way that took us on a wild ride to come to this place. There are times when people spoke into my life, times when God spoke into my life, when God spoke to me, when great big things happened. But in the end, it's been mostly about just the everyday stuff. Just doing what we had been tasked to do. It's been about following the routine, following the plan, doing life as best we knew how. And people look at our family and they say, wow, I could never do that. I could never move my family to Africa. But the reality is you could if you were supposed to. 5 years ago, Melody and I had no thoughts of Africa. No thoughts of moving halfway around the world. Things change rapidly for us. And when I think about the catalyst for that change, really it came back to some normal stuff. The normal everyday work of a pastor. See, I saw that we had a missionary in Kenya who needed some pastoral support. And so I went and I visited. And in the midst of that, God broke into our lives and changed everything for us. No big deal, routine stuff, but God broke in. Not because we were looking for him to do something huge, but because he knew that we were available at least to listen. And so it seems only fitting that on this day of Pentecost, as we celebrate the birth of the global church, that this church, Trinity Vineyard, Cypress, Texas, would also take that step of truly becoming a global church. What we read about in the book of Acts was really the birth of a global missions movement. Of those 3,000 people who started following Jesus that day, many of them, those who had journeyed to Jerusalem, who heard worship in their own language, would go back to the countries that they came from, to their towns and villages, and they would share this experience. How could you not? They would share their stories, and ultimately, they would share the good news of Jesus with those who had never heard it before. And as our family leaves to head off to Kenya, we've kind of had that kind of experience. Melody and I both grew up in the church. We've been in church basically our whole lives. We've done all the routine stuff along the way. I didn't bother to calculate how many church services that we've set in, but it's been a lot. And in most of those, nothing spectacular happens. We've done all the routine stuff. But somewhere along the way, God broke in. And he spoke our language. And he captured us. And he's sending us out for the sake of the world. We're going to a foreign land, but we're going to a people who speak our language. A people who share our cultural experiences. So that we can share our stories, so that we can share our experience, so that we can share our life, ultimately so that we can share Jesus. And the picture that we'll paint for people of Jesus, the picture that we'll paint for the people in Nakuru, will be a reflection of our experience here. So thank you. Thank you for helping paint that picture for us, for showing us what a church can be, for implanting something in us that's now part of our core. As Mike talked about, you know, the lasting impact or whatever you said about us being here, all I could think of was, no, there are lots of people that can do what we do. But our experience in this church has changed us forever. It's changed us forever. And we're going to take it, and we're going to take it to Kenya. 5.5 years ago, you welcomed Melody and I with open arms. You helped us adopt our little girls. You prayed with us through medical issues. You supported us in the things that God called us to do. You've been our friends and our confidants and our encouragers. You've been our family. And you've been a fine church. But it's only the beginning. You see, today Trinity Vineyard embraces a call to be a global church. But this is only the first seed. There are others in these seats today that will plant churches, that will be a part of church plants in the U.S. and around the world. There are some of you who are already beginning to feel the tinges of the Holy Spirit begging you to do the impossible. And you say, I can't do that. I could never do that. And you're right. You can't. But God can do it through you. In the midst of everyday life, He can break in and He can do the impossible through you. He used a ragtag group of uneducated Galileans to speak the good news of Jesus in dozens of languages. He's sending a couple of East Tennessee hillbillies halfway around the world to Kenya. Why not you? Why not you? Pray for us. We'll pray for you. And this I know, the best is yet to come. God bless you guys.